Say hi to spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, today. Women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.
Welcome to a special Christmas Eve edition of Golden State of Mindcast. Happy holidays to all of our listeners out there. It's time for the matchup that we've all been waiting for, the Cleveland Cavaliers. As always, I'm joined by Bram Concello and Nate Parham. And today we have a special guest, Ryan Morton from FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cavs blog. Guys, some of the players like LeBron and Draymond have been downplaying this game, kind of talking about, you know, it's just another game. We will do no such thing. we're gonna make as big of a deal out of this game as we possibly can because we've all been waiting for it. It's all been on our calendars for a long time. We were, Warriors fans were looking at it as possibly going undefeated up to this game, and unfortunately, one loss. Ryan, you started off, so you guys have more than one loss. First, I just want to put that out there.
Playing in the East, is not easy. You know, we don't get the three teams with a record over 500 out East, but you already know that because you had to play the Bucks. You already caught that fade. So, it's hard out here. You know, the warm weather, better teams. It's tough.
So how thirsty are Cavs fans for this game is what I want to know.
You know, it ranges because I don't think a lot of people think they're gonna win. You have the normal delusional people who think they're gonna win no matter what. Like you could play Delly, Anderson Varejao, and Sasha Kaun, and they'd be like, yeah, I'll beat them. The Warriors are overrated. But Kyrie's only played 13 minutes against the Sixers and 19 minutes yesterday, and I think he's shooting like 20% right now. He can't find a rhythm. And everyone, I don't know. They're, you know, Mo Williams just got back. Iman Shumpert just got back. I don't know how much people really expect. But they're definitely thirsty for a win, man. They're sick of you guys.
The Cavs are definitely a better team with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, and we know that Kevin Love was out for the finals, and Kyrie only played one game before getting hurt. The Warriors probably out Harrison Barnes tomorrow. We don't know if he's going to be coming back yet. It's possible. So it's definitely a different game than we saw in the finals last time these teams met. Nate, so let me ask you. I've seen chatter by Warriors fans that, you know, Kyrie and Love don't necessarily pose as big a threat to the Warriors as Cavs fans think. I mean, obviously Warriors fans are going to think that, but, you know, primarily because of defensive matchups. Have you seen this chatter, and what do you think about that?
I think we only have one loss, and, seriously. I think Kyrie is, look, he did a good job in that game one last year. Before he went down, I think that whatever merit there was, the notion that they would have won with Kyrie, it's within that game one when he blocked Curry this up at the end of the game. He did a relatively good job defending him.
Three blocks. He blocked him three times. Actually,
I mean, I just remember a trophy. So I don't know. Everything's kind of hazy other than that. But I think the fact that they you have another guy who can defend Curry out there is really important. Obviously. This season, Curry's kind of taking his game to another level. Obviously, Draymond Green has as well. So it's a little bit of a different setup. But I think that defensively, just having an extra man to guard Curry is huge. Kevin Love, I honestly have to say I'd be interested in Ryan's thoughts about how Kevin Love is fitting with Irving and LeBron this year. Because obviously there was a lot of chatter last year about how it wasn't working. And now it seems like Kyrie's just coming back. So I mean, are they doing anything different with Love that would make it that would overcome some of the problems people were highlighting last year? Or what's the deal with that?
This year, he leads the NBA in post touches. So they're feeding him a lot more. He's also the most efficient post scorer in the NBA. And so one of the things I think gets missed, obviously Love's not a great defender. I think he can hold his own. But one of the things I think got missed a lot last year is A, if you don't think they're a lot better with Kyrie, you're insane. Like it's insane. Like you can say Delly played pretty good defense, and that's true, but the Warriors only had to play one side of the ball. Like even if you're playing good defense on Steph Curry, it generally doesn't matter. And you don't have to output a lot of effort to defend Matthew Dellavedova. Now, he's a lot improved. He's way improved this year. He's actually a lot better player, much to my chagrin, because I really don't like watching him very much.
But he's but the love. Savior. Come on, what are we should be talking
about. You told me in Vegas, you took me aside and you whispered very softly. You said, hey, don't tell anybody this, but Deli is my favorite player in the world. Man. And now the secret's finally coming out, and you should just, you know, you should be open about your true feelings.
It kills me, man. It hurts so bad. Because he's actually, like, really playable. He's, you know, he's, I think, the second best three-point shooter in the league, percentage-wise, behind Kawhi Leonard, ahead of some kid from Golden State. And he's a pretty good defender, so it sucks because I don't have any more legs to stand on.
He's the best defensive player of all. He's the best defensive point guard of all time.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously they're better with Kyrie. Like, anyone who doesn't say that, Nate, you know, I know you were scared. You told me you were scared. and you should be. That's horse crap. You told me when he blocked that shot, you thought the series was over.
I did not.
You specifically did.
When I blocked the shot, the series was over. When I was scared during the finals, I was scared when they took the game at Oracle. So that was what, game two?
Game two, I was scared.
I was scared. I think it's silly. Even though we had just overcome the Memphis series where we were down,
it's
think
LeBron.
It would be silly. It was LeBron, and LeBron continued to play insane. When they got to Cleveland. So, I mean, obviously, there was plenty of reason to be scared. I was scared after that point.
Yeah, I know, but this has been rehashed endlessly, but I feel like we should take the briefest of moments to pour one out for LeBron's finals performance. Yeah. That was just, hey, I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
He was so good. He was so good that he got somebody else the finals MVP.
Right.
That's
the man who did the best job of trying to contain him ended up getting Finals MVP. That really is absurd.
And Deli gets nothing for the same.
Well, he got a trip to the ICU, but you know, other than that,
I wish he would have stayed.
When he went to the hospital, were you happy? Were you smiling and just trolling everybody?
No, I wasn't, because they didn't have any other damn point guards. So. Well, you know, I needed him at the time, you know, and he really annoys people. Like, as much as he annoys me, he annoys everybody. Like, he can't score worth a damn inside the paint, but people really hate playing that guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Going back to Kevin Love really quick.
I got way off track.
Yeah. It seems his defense has always been kind of the thing that people have looked at as, you know, where he falls off a little bit. And I think that I've heard, I haven't actually looked at the stats or anything, but like, his defense is supposed to be better this year. Is he doing anything different? Like, what do you expect from him against Draymond and this crew?
They protect him a lot better as far as having him ice pick and rolls. And, you know, letting him take opposing teams' post players. It is really interesting how he might defend Golden State, because I would think he'd get stuck on Draymond. And I don't know how that's going to go. He's decent at the point of attack, like in isolation. I would give Green the edge there, of course. But that is really interesting to me, because I have no idea how it's going to play out. On the other end, I don't know. Like, everyone, the Warriors have a lineup that nobody can guard. That's pretty well established, unless you're Milwaukee, of course. But the Cavs, we haven't really seen anybody defend Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, LeBron James, and enter whatever shooting guard you want. You know, Tristan can defend 3 to 5, so as deficient as they might be defensively, and I have no way of knowing that until they step on the floor. You know, even last year at Golden State, the same lineup, they really struggled with it. It's tough to defend them and then box out Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love. So as deficient as they are defensively, they're pretty good, and they just murder people on offense. So I'm really interested to see what the Warriors have for that, because any of your small ball players, save Green, and Kevin Love's the best post player in the game right now. He's going to chew them up. So that's really interesting to me.
Are there things offensively that you guys are doing? Obviously, we didn't see everything you do offensively now because of Kevin Love. He was out, and Kyrie Irving was out for most of it. But are there things offensively that you guys do that you didn't do last season that kind of David Blatt is kind of implementing more this year?
LeBron does not have the ball as much, anywhere near as much. His isolation touches are down like 15%. His time with the ball in his hands is, I think it's down around 10%. The last time I checked, Mo Williams and Matthew Dellavedova have done a lion's share of the initiating, and he's working off the ball a whole lot more, which has been good because he's scoring really well on cuts. It's also been bad because he's not shooting. Like, he's completely forgot how to shoot, so he'll get the ball on open three-pointer, and he just does not take it. He waits for something else to happen, which kind of mucks up the offense. Post play centered around Love is up quite a bit. He gets, I think, three more touches than he did last year. And obviously that wasn't something they had to prepare for anyway. So,
right.
Other than that, I mean, they're just swinging it around a lot more. They really trust the offense a whole lot better as opposed to the complete isolation. Last year, Kyrie and LeBron were, I think, 1-5 in isolation attempts. And now they're down, you know, they're maybe in the middle of the pack as far as isolations as a team goes. So they're slinging it around a whole lot more.
So all that stuff about David Blatt, like not being a coach and LeBron coaching.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that as much anymore. Somehow.
Yeah.
Imagine Twitter being wrong, right?
It's crazy, right? And they hate each other.
Twitter is always right. You know that Twitter is always right. Don't be mad at Twitter for being right.
I don't blame Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, so speaking of Love, this is an interesting question, obviously, we have to kind of bring up. I'm sure it'll come up tomorrow, but obviously we were also in the running to get Kevin Love at one time. It worked out well for us to not get him. But, I mean, when you guys look at Andrew Wiggins, is there any kind of thinking that you would rather have not made that trade, or how do you feel about that trade now, given what happened in the last year?
I would say no. I mean, I love Wiggins, and I'm a sucker for anybody that's long and athletic and can jump out of the gym. And I think defensively he would have helped a lot. You know, right now his offense, like if you look at it, it's mostly due to high attempts. He's definitely got some potential, but he wouldn't have helped out in that series, I don't think. You know, other than right. defense, which would be great. But was he going to do a whole lot more offensively than Iman Shumpert in the finals? Maybe, probably. Appreciable
Maybe.
Amount. Probably Maybe. Not, though, I would yeah. think. And I don't know. I mean, I would, you know, he's progressed a lot because they've force-fed him everything in Minnesota. And I don't think in between Kyrie and LeBron, you know, instead of talking about, oh, Love might want out, oh, his body language is terrible, we'd be talking about, wow, you know, they could have had Kevin Love. Right. Wiggins is really taking a long time. Man, their spacing is terrible because Tristan Thompson and, you know, whoever their center is, if they don't get Mozgov, is really not cutting it. So it'd be a whole bunch, you know, different set of discussions. I love what Kevin brings to the team. I think having to play both ends is something that we really missed in last year's finals. Golden State didn't have to try very hard on defense. You know,
well, except for that LeBron guy, but
well, you know, as a team,
yeah, I think Iguodala has a different opinion of that. Yeah.
Right.
I hear what you're saying. That they were,
you know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're trying to defend the Spurs or the Warriors or the Clippers, as compared to LeBron, has to pound the ball for 40.
Don't put the Clippers in that same category, please.
Last year's Clippers.
Okay.
you know the. You know, because LeBron can serve energy. He's just pounding the air out of the ball.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, come on. We all know that's probably the easiest offense to defend, other than the fact that it contains LeBron James.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, I'm down with it. I think they made a great decision. He and Tristan Thompson are a really, really great pairing as far as versatility and rebounding go. And I don't think there's a lot of teams that can keep up with that.
Obviously, it's Anthony Bennett you really miss, but we don't have to go into those feelings.
It's Nerlens Noel that I do cry about, but I tell myself he'd be in Minnesota right now. that's the one that really bums me out. Him or Andre Drummond.
Ooh, Drummond. Yeah. I have feelings about Drummond too, but, you know. The other question I had for you was, Mozgov was actually, you know, kind of taken out of that those last, what was it, two games, I want to say, or was it the last three games? What do you see from Mozgov this year, and what do you I mean, how do you see it playing out in tomorrow's game?
Man. He's been terrible. He's been absolutely...
We just took his soul.
No. He had knee surgery in the offseason.
Okay.
So he had knee surgery in the offseason, and he's been absolutely awful.
Wow.
The last few games, he started to look pretty agile again. He came in really out of shape. If they're not playing Bogut, I don't think they need or should play Mozgov. I think we can all say that Mozgov pretty roundly outplayed Bogut in the finals last year. I assume we all agree with that.
Yeah, he took him out of the series.
Yeah. So, you know, he should match up Bogut probably, and other than that, they probably shouldn't play him because he's been bad in space. He's been bad on offense. He's been bad everywhere. It's been really sad to see. Other than the fact that he's coming up in a contract year and they'll save a ton of money on him.
I have a question. I saw that Mozgov said something about riding bears when he was in Russia. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Oh, I didn't notice that. No?
Somebody was talking about, man, what was the context? It was somebody was saying like, I used to ride horses all the time. And Mozgov said like, in Russia, we ride bears.
Yeah. Okay. I remember seeing the quote. Our editor, David, he actually speaks Russian. And whoa. I want to say he was in the locker room for that. He might not have been. That's all I know. All I know is he said in Russia.
No, he said something about riding bears in Russia, man. And like in Russia, we ride bears sounds like the coolest James Bond movie ever, by the way.
Timo is the coolest James Bond character. That's what really sucks. That's what sucks about watching him struggle because he's hilarious. Like everything he does is funny. He's a clown.
There's still a good amount of season left for him to regain form.
Yeah, no, I think he'll end up being fine. Right now, man, Kyrie's not looking too hot. He's only played, like I said, a combined 32 minutes. Timo's mostly unplayable. So it could be interesting tomorrow.
Looking at...
I'm hearing excuses. Go ahead, Ivan.
The Warriors really obviously turned that series with the small ball lineup and the lineup that's actually been used quite a bit more this season than it was last season. And I know that it's a little different now because Harrison Barnes has been out, so it hasn't been quite as effective or hasn't been gone to quite as much. But Ryan, how do you see the Cavs playing that differently this year if we see it tomorrow? How are they going to match up against that? Draymond at center and then a whole bunch of wings that can shoot.
I think the first thing they'll do, Blatt's go-to lineup is Kyrie, Shumpert, or Dellavedova, and then Shumpert or Dellavedova at the two, LeBron James, Tristan Thompson, and Kevin Love. When the Cavs play that lineup, their net rating is like plus 29 or something. Just in lineups, I should say, that have Love, James, and Tristan Thompson in at the same time. So not those five. So I would say Love at center, and I think they're content with letting Iguodala shoot. Blatt's tenure has been marked with, you know, like against the Bulls. They just left Nikola Mirotic open. Against the Hawks, it was Paul Millsap. They just, you know, cover everyone else and just leave him wide open. And in the finals against you guys, it was Andre Iguodala. And I think he's the guy that you're going to let him shoot and see what happens. So probably Love on Draymond and Thompson kind of floating in the middle, or LeBron floating in the middle, and then just making him defend. You know, if Draymond Green can defend Kevin Love and someone can box out Tristan Thompson, maybe they try something else. But, you know, that's easier said than done, in my opinion. That's and I've said it like 10 times, so I apologize, but how those two lineups would defend each other is really, really interesting to me because they both seem pretty impossible to defend and statistically have been.
Yeah.
So I think that would be really – I mean, do you have plans? I mean, you know, the one that I set out there, is there something that jumps out to, I'd stop it with X? Because I don't. Now, I'm probably a homer in saying that. I agree. But you know how it is. I mean, no one's guarding Tristan Thompson, so he's always there for a rebound because you forget about him until you need to grab the ball.
Right. I think the one difference, and it's maybe not a difference from the finals, but I mean, Iguodala is shooting 40.3% from the 3-point line this year. So that changes I mean, that's a career high for him. So it changes the way you have to leave. You have to guard him a little bit. But I mean, it's not like he's not Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, but he's definitely shooting better than he ever has in his life. So, I mean, the crazy thing is like, he's already at 72 attempts. The most attempts he's ever tried in a season during his career was back in 2007-08 with 307. So, I mean, he's going to like probably blow his attempts out of the water this year. So,
what are we about the quarterway mark?
We're about the quarter. So he could get up there more attempts than normal. So more attempts certainly than he's had since, the last 8 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd let him shoot. I'd let him keep shooting. I mean, historically in his career, he's not been great. Let's put it to the test.
Right. Right.
Probably get burned again, just like in the finals. But, I have a question, though.
Yeah. Oh.
That's been burning me.
Go ahead.
And I've actually brought it up. And Nate, I believe you called me. I think you called me salty. And then you called me a hater. You might have even mentioned something about tears.
Yeah, probably. All three, probably.
Probably all three of those, yeah.
Yeah.
When you hear Klay Thompson complain that another team didn't win with class, you roll your eyes so hard you almost pass out, or is that just me? Like, I fell over.
Really? Almost.
Well, to be fair, your balance is not particularly good.
I drink a lot, but
do you feel they did not win with class in the finals?
I don't have a problem with what they do. I am, I'm a big proponent, as you probably know, of talking your junk. Like, I think if you're winning, you can say whatever you want. But if you play on a team with Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green, chastising anyone else for not winning with class is probably a little off base, right? Like, skipping around and dancing around and,
Wait. If you got to watch Steph Curry's threes up close every day of your life, I mean, you'd start skipping at some point, just like randomly, like during practice.
I watch Kyrie Irving, man. I watch Kyrie Irving. What are you talking about?
Stop that.
That's silliness.
It's just foolishness. But you know what I mean?
A foolish statement. That statement's going to follow you around for years.
But you know what I mean? I need to look up
some of Kyrie's numbers. I think you might be sleeping a little bit right now. Not this year, though.
Not right now.
Currently.
Historical.
More excuses. And preemptive defeatism. That's all I'm hearing from you. It's just excuses and defeatism.
I can't wait till I run Nate off Twitter. I'm going to run Nate off Twitter so hard. I'm going to set up a tweet every day. I'm going to tweet him Warriors ground every single day for the next 9 months.
I have said I will go away from Twitter for a little self-exile hibernation.
They're gonna make Oracle just look like Levi Stadium. Is that what you're looking for?
My God, stop! I don't mind Andre Iguodala's dancing. I actually think it's hilarious. So, I mean, maybe there's someone else who thinks differently about that. I think it's hilarious.
I don't mind it either.
Okay, I do think, and I will say this because I've noticed it before, and it does kind of grate me, and I'm gonna get in trouble with some Warriors fans for this. Maybe I think there are times when they. And there was a play last night where they're just like passing around the horn for no reason and just passing up shots just to watch the defense rotate, like, and spin around like headless chickens. That's when I think they're actually showboating. And that's when I actually think they taunt teams by saying, look at us, we're so much better than you. They were just going to keep making passes. And until you look silly enough, they were just going to make the three and end this. And I think there are times when they do showboat a little. And I think showboating in a way at this level is something that would grate my nerves if I was an opponent. But do I think it's not winning with class? I mean, not everybody can be the 80s Niners where you get the touchdown and then put the ball down in the end zone quietly and leave, walk away. I mean, it's not everybody
remembers the 80s Niners, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Five Super Bowls. So, but you know, I think you want to, I think could some of it be tempered? Yes. Do I think it was the Bucks or just the Bucks game was silly. Did you watch the Bucks game, Ryan? Did you see what happened in the end?
I'm gonna admit something.
Standing ovation. It was like a champion. It's like they won the championship, and it was just a bit much. And you know, there's no reason for anybody in the Bucks to be talking anything to the Warriors right now. And I think that's where that
they were
came
winning.
From.
They won the game.
They won one
You win
game.
The game. You win the game. You talk your crap. That's how it works.
One game.
That's fair. The Bucks are terrible. I'm not disagreeing. Okay. And I don't have a problem with what the Warriors do. That was my basis.
Yeah,
they can do whatever.
No, I've heard this too. There are Warriors fans who don't like the Warriors kind of taunting and attitude. And,
but you know,
I'm curious what Ryan wants to admit, because I feel like it's probably just going to be more defeatist crap.
But yeah. No, my admission is I've watched no more than maybe 45 seconds of Warriors basketball this year.
I'm sorry for you.
I almost refuse.
Sounds like a joyless, just bleak existence. Yeah. Why would you do that? That'd be like not watching MJ or something.
It's not as fun for me as it is for you guys, I think, maybe.
Because you're so thirsty or...
Salty would be the term.
Salty.
No, there's just something like, you know, I would never deny the talent. I don't know what it is. It's not... Huh.
Why would you not watch the Warriors?
They're just... I don't know, man. They're dicks.
That's next level scientific analysis, right there.
Elaborate on this. Why do you?
Like I said, I don't have any problem with what they're doing, but you got Steph dancing around, and I'm just like, you know what? F*** you, man. I'm good. Shoot your shot. Talk your junk. All respect in the world.
So you're a fan of talking, but not physical action. Is that what you're saying?
No.
So like,
I
basically, you're a person who just likes to run their mouth, but not doing anything.
Come on.
Is that basically what you're saying?
I still have a picture of you passed out standing on your feet.
What happened in Vegas? In Vegas.
I'm just saying, if we're pushing, you know, if we're pushing now, but no, you know. It is what it is. I don't mind them talking. I don't mind them dancing. I just don't want to watch it.
You just said you minded them dancing.
For me, not in general.
Mm.
I just don't want to watch
it. For me, they do kind of at least keep it on the court, like during the game. You know, they do their dancing and they do their smack talk. And then after the game, it's pretty classy. This is not like the Los Angeles Clippers situations, you know?
Right.
I think that the Cavs keep it pretty classy off the court as well. And I think both teams kind of, you know, do their own level of showboating on the court.
For sure, the
Cavs have their little, you know, post game dance celebrations as well. So it's not like, you know, it's just the Warriors dancing. But it is like I think both teams, you know, do have a healthy level of respect for each other off the court and don't just like, you know, get on the horn and complain like
I think a lot of that comes from Steph and from LeBron are like the two faces of the league now at this point. You know, kind of the older guard and the newer guard, and they're both, you know, family men, classy people with children, and they're also two of the first people to take some more social issues and decide to make them part of their life. You know, like with Steph coming out with the whole advertisement that he did with Spike Lee and gun violence and everything, and LeBron, you know, speaking about Black Lives Matter and being more political, and it is like they understand their position in the society we all live in, and they understand that they make a huge impact and they definitely don't take it for granted. And I think that you see them having so much fun and joy on the court, but it is just a different level that the two of them specifically are operating at, and then I think each team sort of follows into line behind that, you know.
Even J.R. Smith doesn't say dumb stuff most of the time.
Which
crazy.
Is crazy.
Most of the time. Right.
Most of the time.
Well, I mean, he cut – who are they playing? Oh, they were playing the Sixers a few days ago. And they were up by like 20-something at halftime. And they're like, hey, are you surprised, you know, with Kyrie back that you're up? And he's basically said, no, it's the Sixers. So,
what's he gonna say? I mean,
well, yeah,
obvious.
No, it's not an answer, but normally you don't see guys, you know, just say it like that. But no, I don't have, you know, I think they're both perfectly respectful. Everyone doesn't have to act like the Spurs. You know, the Spurs, they're kind of boring how bland they are about it. You know, they just go about, all right, they scored their 140, they passed a lot, now they're gonna go, you know, sip wine and talk about books or something, like,
which, to be totally fair, drinking wine and talking about books is kind of awesome, and I'm a huge proponent of that.
Let's
like
get back to basketball here, Ram. Come on.
Yeah, jeez.
I think you're like both these teams keep it fun, and I think that's like one of the reasons why. I mean, not just because this is the finals matchup, but like they're exciting teams. They have the two best players, as Bram said, like in the world, the faces of the NBA. And that's why the, you know, they're playing on Christmas. And I think this might be the like biggest regular season game of all time. Like I can't remember one that's been talked about so much in the regular season. Finally matching up from the rematch of the finals, the Warriors haven't played any of the other top three teams below them this season yet, so it's going to be a big matchup for them. The Cavs get to play relatively full strength against the Warriors that beat them. I mean, this is a huge game that we haven't seen before this season. How is social media going to handle it? Is this going to be like just blown up? Just so much smack talking? Like,
you guys all
participate? Are you asking for Ryan to say how much smack he's going to talk, or do you mean just like social media in general? Because I can tell you now, it's going to be far too much.
I reached out to Julie.
I know, I saw that.
I told her, I was like, hey, just so you know, I think you do a great job, and this is all in good fun. But it's about to get petty as hell over here. So,
Julie, for those who are listening, is the literally the manager of all social media accounts for the Golden State Warriors. And Ryan made a point of warning her.
At Fear the Sword is where Ryan's going to be tweeting from. So if you're listening to this, follow him. Or maybe don't even follow him, but just do get your digs in as soon as possible.
As long as you're good. Like, you guys have some terrible trolls, man. There's a few during the finals last year that were, like, unspeakably bad. And I love, you know, I love good trolls. So I was really disappointed.
But would you say they were unstoppable?
Stop that.
Baby?
They were immensely stoppable, man. The mute button cures all.
And don't you wish the Cavs had a mute button for the Warriors in the finals, too?
Oh, we can't all be lucky, you know. What do you say?
I the interesting thing about the regular season, best regular season game ever, 2004, Lakers and Miami played, I think it was Shaq's first game back.
Ooh, yeah.
I think that was a pretty big one. I think probably what will magnify this one is social media, obviously, but yeah. Reading yesterday, like sports ratings, I had like a 7.8 rating for a regular season Christmas Day game. And this one, if this one exceeds that, I mean, that'll kind of be our standard to see how big this was. But imagine that without social media and out all the talk we have now, a game was that huge. So more for the melodrama, obviously, but
none of the other big ones have been, you know, like, who cares about Dwight Howard or Aaron Williams, and the, you know, the Magic were terrible. LeBron returning to Cleveland probably would have been massive if our team wasn't, you know, just completely devoid of talent at the time. Right. LeBron returning to Miami, no one cares about Miami, you know.
Well, the people in Miami don't really care about the team in Miami.
Yeah, you know, so. Who cares about the Heat? So, I mean, I think it should be huge. As maybe, you know, 5 of the 20 best players in basketball, maybe top 25, you know. So there's huge talents. It's, I don't know. I hope it's actually a really good game.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, LeBron was talking yesterday. And they asked him about the game, and his response was, well, you know, we'd love to play great and we'd love to win, but we also play Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday, so you got to think about that too. And I'm like, man, you're not going to punt, are you?
Like, setting expectations.
Yeah, defeatism. Again, nothing but tears and sadness from your end of this conversation, right?
Hey, man, I'll figure out a way. Like, if they lose, I'll think of something. Maybe it was the refs. You know, maybe it was...
Wait, should we put some sort of, like, friendly wager on this game?
Oh, man.
It's the social media wager or something? You know, because I run the GSOM handle. Like, we could say the loser has to pay penance in some simple way. Totally PG, like, simple, family, happy way.
I'm willing to do that.
So what's a simple thing that we could do that would... That I'm open. You know, that won't make you too scared.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I'm going to get you and Nate up out of here, I think. So let's, what are your terms? What do you think you got going on?
All right. Let me
I'm going to enjoy this. LeBron drops that triple double and so it might look like Kyrie against the Spurs. You know, he put 57 on Kawhi Leonard last year. I don't know why you're tempted fate.
He, as you said, has played 30 minutes so far. So we'll see about that.
We don't need to bring that up.
If I think that the loser of the game the Twitter handle has to, for 5 days following, schedule tweets that's like best of YouTube compilations of the five starting players on each
oh
team.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Just to post, you don't have to say anything. You can just be like, I apologize ahead of time. And then every day at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the following 5 days, you just tweet out a YouTube clip with no explanation. That's it.
Bram goes hard.
Oh man. So for 5 days.
For five days, one for each of the starting five.
I have to treat all 20,000 Fear the Sword followers.
No explanation, just purely a YouTube clip, whatever is the top viewed Steph Curry compilation on YouTube. And whoever else. Like Steph and then Clay and Draymond and, you know, down the line. And I promise I will do the same if the Warriors somehow lose.
Somehow. Oh.
Somehow if they I mean it's totally possible that they're going to lose this game. I'm like, I have girded up my loins, so to speak, for that possibility. So
I feel like they won't. I mean, it's a home game, you know.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
And that's what I was telling. I was telling Nate that I was like, man, I'm in a great position because if they win, they should win. It's a home game, and you know, given all the different factors that are going in, I think it's going to be a good game. I you know, I expect the Cavs to have a perfectly fine chance of winning.
Do you need me to wait this bet for you or something? You want to?
No,
give
I'm good. I'm in. I'll take it. Sorry, I was
You're
just
in?
Going on.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
just talking.
They win, we all kind of expect that, and I can just be like, well, you know, the refs cheated. But if they lose, I'm gonna run Nate off of Twitter.
Okay, cool.
I get to at him and probably you and the blog and the team and.
So it, yeah, no, we get it. We get it. Yeah. So it's agreed then, digitally or through the airwaves or however you will do it, shook upon that loser tweets out the starting five once a day, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the 5 days that it takes. Most viewed highlight videos on YouTube.
Oh my God. All right.
That's a deal.
Oh man.
That was a yes.
It's agreed
That's
upon.
Yes.
The bets are in. It's going to be
That's
a fantastic
a yes.
game. That's all the time we have for today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and blogtalkradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at @NatePunderscoreSBN, at Bram Cancello, at IvanBE. Again, Ryan runs Fear the Sword account at Fear the Sword. Ryan, do you have a personal Twitter account that you want to throw out there as well?
Yeah, it's at Ryan, RYAN underscore Morton, MOURTON.
Awesome. And and of course, remember to check out FearTheSword.com for their game day talk and you know, jump into the comments every so often and be really cordial. But you know, let them know that we're here. Don't be a Twitter troll. But you know, hey.
Well, I was
going
to say, if and when he does have to tweet out those clips, I strongly encourage everyone to just retweet the holy heck out of them.
Come on.
So that's like the Fear the Sword's like top five Twitter posts of the whole year. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah,
and I would,
nice
expect no, I would expect no less out of Cavs fans, you know?
All right, guys, it's going to be a great game. Happy holidays to all of our listeners and to you guys. Ryan, thanks for joining us today. And we'll talk to you next time on Golden State of Mind, Cavs.
Say hi to Spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, today. Women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.